I'm going to start with two different readings. The first one is one of my all-time favorite scriptures the book of Amos, and I'm reading from the New Revised Standard Updated Version. And this is from chapter 5, verses 21 through 24. I have no doubt that you will very easily recognize these verses. This is in the voice of God through Amos. I despise your festivals, and I take no delight in your solemn assemblies. Even though you offer me your burnt offerings and your offerings of grain, I will not accept them. And the offerings of well-being of your fatted animals, I will not look upon. Take away from me the noise of your psalms. I will not listen to the melody of your harps. But let justice roll down like waters and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. May God blessing and understanding to the reading of those words. Then I want to share a paragraph from Rabbi Abraham Joshua Heschel's book called The Prophets. In it he says this: the prophet's word is a scream in the night. While the world is at ease and asleep, the prophet feels the blast from heaven. To us, the moral state of society for all of its stains and spots seems fair and trim. To the prophet, it is dreadful. So many deeds of charity are done, so much decency displayed, so many tasks performed with propriety. What could be so terrible? To the prophet, the very existence of injustice threatens all goodness. The prophet is sleepless and grave. The frankincense of pastoral worship, the sounds of the temple music, the solemnity of the sacred festivities are an abomination to God so long as injustice does not prevail.
James Taylor.
Can't get no light from the darkness.
So like I said, I wasn't here on MLK weekend, and so we are doing our MLK service today. My sermon title is Being a Drum Major for Justice. So today I invite us to gather at the intersection of faith, justice, and a radical love, a crossroads that demands we examine not just our individual actions, but the actions of the very structures that shape our collective existence. You see, I believe we gather today at a crucial moment in our nation's history, where the very fabric of our moral universe is being tested. And one of my favorite sermons from him, the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., spoke about the drum major instinct, that deeply human desire to be recognized, to matter, to be important, to achieve distinction, to lead the parade. But he called us to be a different kind of drum major. He called us to be drum majors who lead not for self-glorification, but for the cause of justice. As King said in that sermon, if you want to be important, wonder. If you want to be recognized, wonderful. If you want to be great, wonderful. But recognize that he who is greatest among us shall be your servant. That is a theology of liberation that refuses to be constrained by church walls or on Sunday morning rituals. That is a faith that understands worship not as a passive act of consumption, but as an active, embodied commitment to human dignity. It is a perspective that will not be satisfied with merely understanding the concept, but rather recognizes the need to attach actions that will help rectify the issues. You see, I see a church with a capital C. I see a church today that is too often it remains silent behind stained glass windows while people in the world suffer from exposure to the ills of society. We have built magnificent temples of worship, but all too frequently, we have forgotten the temple of justice. Let me be clear, as I have pointed out before, the Christian faith is inherently political. It is a faith that stands with the marginalized, that challenges systems of oppression, that refuses to separate spiritual practice from social transformation. If you're following the teachings of Jesus well, the world will most certainly deem you an agent of politics, even though you are merely practicing your faith well. The biblical narrative itself is a continuous story of liberation. From the Exodus, where God sides with enslaved people against imperial power, to the prophets, who consistently denounced leaders who ignored the needs of the poor, to Jesus, who proclaimed good news to the oppressed and challenged the religious and political structures of his time. When I look across our nation, I see systemic corruption that must be confronted. I believe that today, our prophetic call demands a comprehensive examination of the systems that perpetuate injustice. Systems like these. Economic inequality that concentrates wealth in the hands of a few while millions struggle in poverty. Systemic racism embedded in our institutions, from criminal justice to education to healthcare. Environmental destruction that disproportionately impacts the poor. Laws that hold back or don't protect rights for LGBTQI plus folks. Patriarchal structures that limit human potential based on gender. Immigration policies that criminalize human movement and separates families. And systems of ableism that render disabled bodies as less than fully human. My friends, I am here to say that we cannot separate our Sunday mornings, amens, and hallelujahs from our Monday morning obligations. The same God, who heard the cries of the enslaved Hebrews, hears the cries of oppressed peoples today. The same Jesus who challenged the religious authorities of his day calls us to challenge the structures of injustice in our days. Our faith is not merely meant to be a personal comfort, but rather, it is more importantly a collective movement towards liberation. We are called to be more than passive recipients of grace. We are co-creators of a just world. From our reading today, the prophet Amos provides our theological framework. Take away from me the noise of your songs. I will not listen to the melody of your harps, but let justice roll down like waters and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. Those are not metaphorical words. They are a direct challenge to performative worship. Amos tells us that God is not interested in our Sunday performances or our theological contemplations. Because divine justice demands concrete actions that transform real-world conditions. Dr. King understood this deeply. He was not just a dreamer, but he was a strategic organizer who recognized that love is an action and not simply an emotion. Real love requires us to dismantle systems that deny human dignity. It demands it of us. It means moving beyond individual acts of charity towards collective liberation. Charity might feed a hungry person, but justice asks why they were hungry in the first place. Charity is a bandage. Justice is surgery. Charity is love in the moment. Justice is love going forward. As I said at a roundtable panel I was on at UNCG Wednesday night, charity without justice enables the systems that create the need for charity in the first place. We must be willing to be uncomfortable, to risk our privilege, to work for justice, not just charity, to listen more than we speak, to create spaces where marginalized voices can lead, and to understand that our liberation is collective and interconnected. Or as Dr. King once said, quoting Jewish poet Emma Lazarus, no one is free until we all are free. And let us keep in mind to not fall into that trap that too many well-intentioned privileged folks do. We are not called to be saviors. We are called to be co-conspirators in the work of justice. Not to speak for others, but to create conditions where all voices can be heard. Our theology is not about individual salvation, but rather about collective liberation. Not about personal piety, but about social transformation. Not about maintaining the status quo, but about creating a world where every person can fully realize their divine potential. Our commitment to justice demands a strategic approach of nonviolent but profoundly disruptive resistance. And we can learn from the powerful legacies of movements that transform society through disciplined, intentional disruption of unjust systems. Consider the Greensboro Woolworth sit-ins of 1960 that happened walking distance from this very sanctuary. Before black college students sat at whites-only lunch counters, refusing to leave when they were denied service. They understood something profound about nonviolent resistance. Their quiet, dignified presence challenged the entire apparatus of racial segregation. They knew that justice cannot wait for a more convenient season. They recognized, as we must recognize, that human dignity is not negotiable. They did not fight back when harassed, but their very presence was a form of radical resistance. These young activists understood that true change comes not through violence, but through exposing the moral bankruptcy of oppressive systems by refusing to cooperate with them. Today, we continue this legacy of strategic disruption through things like economic resistance. We must be intentional about where we spend our money, understanding that every dollar is a vote for the world that we want to create. Every dollar is a vote for the world that we want to create. This means boycotting businesses that contribute to organizations that marginalize people, whether through anti-LGBTQ policies, supporting systems of racial oppression, or undermining workers' rights. Economic pressure is a powerful tool of nonviolent resistance, forcing institutions to recognize the humanity of those they have historically ignored. When we see policies that ban our brothers and sisters based on their faith, when we witness families torn apart at our borders, when we witness American residents being rounded up and sent out of the country, when we observe the continuous crucifixion of justice on the cross of political expediency, we must not be silent. Disruptive resistance is not about destruction, but about creating impossible to ignore spaces of moral clarity. It is about revealing the contradictions in systems that claim to value human dignity, while simultaneously in denying that dignity to entire groups of people. When we sit in and stand up, speak out, and redirect economic power, we make visible the invisible structures of oppression. Now, this approach that I'm speaking of, this approach, it requires tremendous courage and discipline. Courage and discipline like that of Episcopal Bishop Mary Ann Boone. I have to say, I was moved by the witness of her prophetic voice as she stood in our nation's capital and called for grace, mercy, and compassion towards the marginalized. She understood, as we must understand, that true leadership is servanthood, that genuine greatness lies in lifting others up. Her words were a profound testament to the church's role in speaking truth to power, calling for a national healing that begins with recognizing the full humanity of every person, especially those especially those who have been historically pushed to the margins. Being a drum major for justice means speaking truth to power, walking humbly with those who suffer, standing firmly against systems of oppression, creating beloved community across all dividing lines, supporting and following those most impacted by injustice, building networks of solidarity and support. It means practicing disciplined, nonviolent resistance. Means maintaining love, even in the face of hatred. My friends, we are not called to be saviors. We're called to be servants. Not to speak for others, but to amplify the voices that have for far too long been silenced. Not to lead from above, but to lift from below. This is the true meaning of being a drum major for justice. The arc of the moral universe is long, but it bends towards justice. Yet it does not bend on its own. It bends. It bends through the dedicated work of committed souls who are willing to be co-workers with God through strategic, non-violent resistance, through persistent prophetic witness, through love that refuses to accept injustice as the final word in this world. As I close, let me remind you that our march continues. Like that mighty stream that Amos spoke of, we flow forward, slowly, persistently, hopefully. And though we may not see the promised land in our lifetimes, we move forward with the faith that justice will ultimately prevail. We shall overcome. Not just with words, but with works. Not just with prayer, but with action. Not just with contemplation, but with transformation. Let justice roll down like waters. Let righteousness flow like a mighty stream. Let freedom ring from every mountaintop. And let it begin. Thank you.
Across the road, a vacant line. You know, life is what you make of it. So beautiful, so wise.
Social justice. We're going to do that together today for our prayer. I will read one and then you will respond with the all, and I'll join you on the final all. Let us cry out for justice that flows like a mighty stream. For those suffering under economic inequality and systemic oppression, for our LGBTQ plus siblings, immigrants, and all who face discrimination, for the earth groaning under environmental destruction, as Jesus challenged the structures of his time, when charity is not enough, in the spirit of those who sat at lunch counters, let our Sunday worship become Monday action. Until justice rolls down like waters. Until all are free. For none are free until we all are free. Amen. See this blessing, may you walk in harmony with each other in creation, recognizing that we are one. And may you know love and happiness throughout your life. And may you share that love and happiness with all of those who